Now, with respect to the IP-specific concerns in a deal, I guess kind of what are the parameters or what's kind of the outline that you have to review that material and kind of see what's out there and what you're interested in and how to acquire it?
So with the transactions that we deal with, they're primarily IP-driven transactions. And so one of the first questions is, what is the strength of the IP? A patent portfolio can be very early stage in a lot of the transactions that I do, in which case it's very hard to evaluate the strength of that IP because you might not even have any search reports yet by which to evaluate the prior art, and your client may or may not want to do the level of diligence that it would take to really evaluate the potential of that IP issuing. It also may be a more mature portfolio where certain decisions were made by the company, for example, to go into certain jurisdictions around the world or not go into jurisdictions around the world, and that can have an impact in terms of, you know, what jurisdictions are viable commercialization targets. Then another thing to really consider is a lot of companies have a lot of their IP wrapped up in trade secrets. And so the question there is, you know, what's their know-how, what's been made public, what's been kept as a trade secret, and what kind of protections do they have in place for those trade secrets? Because if their protections aren't adequate, then you could potentially find yourself in a situation where things go into the public domain and you have no ability to protect it. So looking at those kinds of issues at a threshold level can really help you evaluate the strength of the IP and therefore the attractiveness of the acquisition or license.
And especially in many technology fields, especially in semiconductors, nobody owns all the IP in a product that you create. So we really are looking at third-party IP. I spend most of my days looking at that, whether it's M&A or not. And that's very important in the M&A world. I mean, you obviously want to know what the licenses are. You want to know if they're going to transfer. But it's more than that. You need to then see, is this a small company that you're looking at and there's a consent to transfer? And maybe it's a vendor you've worked with and you know they would love for you to take on the work, but did they structure the deal for a small company? For example, in third-party IPs, it's often, and if it's a startup, they'll pay a very, very small development fee, and all of the fees will be royalty-based when the product tapes out and is sold. In large companies, people want their money sooner, and they tend to have more money, so vendors will ask for more money up front. It might be the same vendor you're using, but they may not consent to a sign-in. They may charge you a different model, and that's very hard sometimes when you're working with your finance team to explain, I know it's going to look different, but I can't tell you what the numbers are. Because you're working with your finance team to predict, you know, how all this is going to financially affect your company. The other thing to look at is, you know, sometimes a way around this, you already have a license for the IP. Look at your own contracts. Is this a vendor that you already have a relationship with and you have a license to use this software or this IP? And then also, sometimes the engineers and the business people think they're looking at it and they tell everyone it's a great product. And when you start digging in your due diligence, you realize they're using a piece of technology that does the same thing that you have a license for, but from a different company, or maybe it's manufactured somewhere else. And everyone will say, oh, that's great. We can just switch over to the new technology that we have in-house. And make sure that, you know, I don't think it's really the legal job, but in my role and supporting the engineers, I point that out all the time. That's great, we can switch over, but how long is that going to take? Because they are not, the business people that you're working with are not thinking, oh, this is going to delay the product if we take over this IP. So it's, you know, you really have to sit down and delve in the details with your technical team, your finance team, and your business team on third-party IP. And that's really where I spend on M&A transactions a significant portion of my time.
I'll just piggyback off of one thing that Kim said, which is identify the important contracts where the other party has to consent to assign, and to the extent you can, make that a condition of closing, because that's when you have the best leverage to get both the target to facilitate that assignment and get the other party to assign as well, to consent to the assignment. A couple of other things to think about. Could the third party terminate a required license. So sometimes it's not only that they have to consent to assign, but they may have the right to affirmatively terminate an agreement if the target is acquired or transferred. So be careful about that. And in thinking about the scope of IP diligence in these types of deals, I'm always careful to ask the right questions in diligence. So it's easy to send over a diligence request list that is very standard, identify your third-party licenses, et cetera, manufacturing agreements. But think about asking maybe an even broader question. So ask for any agreements that touch on the target's IP in any way whatsoever. And one example that I have that came up a couple of years ago was we had asked for all of the standard agreements, but then felt like there was just something missing, and we needed to ask another question, which was any agreement that touches on IP rights whatsoever. And the target sent over a really strange founders agreement that provided that certain founders of the company were going to receive royalties off of certain products sold based on certain IP patents that it issued, and it was very strange, and it didn't fall into any of the standard buckets that you would think of for an IP agreement, and that company didn't give it to us until we asked the right question.